This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Some North Carolina lawmakers returned to Raleigh yesterday for the beginning of a historic legislative session, their first in a pandemic. Things were very different than previous sessions. The legislative building was quiet and nearly empty. No members of the public were allowed inside. Many lawmakers present were wearing masks and sitting far apart from one another. The main task for the General Assembly this session is to dole out COVID-19 relief funds. Here's what Republican House Speaker Tim Moore had to say yesterday.
And you know, everybody else is going to have to tighten their belts, and we're going to have to as well. But here's the dilemma with government. As people lose jobs, as problems happen, as there's less money out there, the need for government services rises. So it's a really tough curve, you know, how that affects it.
Jeff DeBerry was at the General Assembly yesterday. He's WNC's Capitol Bureau Chief and joins me now. Welcome back, Jeff.
Good to be with you, Frank.
Tell me what it was like going in that building yesterday.
I've been going in that building regularly since February of 2015, and there have been some odd days and late nights and crazy surprises and big protests. Yesterday was the strangest of any day that I've experienced in those 5 years. I think you obviously alluded to some of it, but the building was closed to the public, which was odd. You know, missing were the lobbyists, missing were some of the advocates, the school groups that are quietly and adorably often lining their way through the building. For me, when I went into the building, I had to stop and interact. We were all masked, but interact with police officers from the North Carolina General Assembly police staff. They took my temperature, and then we went in where, for the most part, the halls were vacant and the chambers were mostly empty. Most lawmakers were wearing masks, not all of them. I did an interview with a lawmaker yesterday. He kept a mask on the entire time. It was a strange day. And, you know, looking at everything and understanding this moment we're in, it seems as though this is going to be perhaps status quo for a while.
Well, now quiet inside the building, but outside there were more reopen NC protests, right? So a little noisy out there.
That is correct. This was the third Tuesday in a row that there were, the estimate was a couple of hundred people from across the state. We saw a lot of Don't Tread on Me flags and Trump 2020 flags, handmade signs. There were children and young adults, older adults, really a range of folks who were chanting and yelling, asking, basically telling Governor Cooper to drop the reopen order. There were four arrests. That was the most up-to-date information I had later in the day. And those folks were arrested because they stepped onto the sidewalk up the street at the governor's mansion, which they had, I'm told, had been repeatedly told not to do. So there were these protests yesterday. People certainly not practicing social distancing. Very few. I believe I saw two of the protesters wearing masks. I did see several state lawmakers out there in the crowd with the protesters. They were not wearing masks. One of those state lawmakers, a House representative, a Republican from Craven County, was actually dressed up, we think, as Thomas Jefferson. He had a patriotic sort of uniform or costume on. He had a wig on. He actually was told later he had to take the wig off on the floor of the North Carolina House because headwear isn't allowed.
I see.
It was an interesting day, Frank.
You could drape it over your mouth. But anyway, so now that's going on outside. The fact is, you talked about lawmakers. A couple of them were actually participating in the protests outside. Many of these lawmakers are 65 years and older, and that really puts them at higher risk, doesn't it?
A few weeks ago, I did a fairly basic query with the clerks from both the Senate and the House. And, you know, we're generally seeing this figure of 65 and older is a higher risk group category for this COVID-19 virus. In the Senate, there are 17 members who are 65 or older. So there are 50 members in the chamber. Quick math, that's 34%. And in the House, 65 and over, 52 out of 120 members. So nearly half of the North Carolina House over 65, more than a third in the Senate over the age of 65. So yeah.
So how does voting work?
We don't know yet for sure because they did not vote on anything yesterday. I'm going to put on my architectural hat. briefly and just note that the architect who
I hope you're not inside the building because headwear is not permitted. So I'm not sure. Forgive me.
Frank. Well played. The architect who built the North Carolina General Assembly didn't really do any favors to the North Carolina House. And I say that because, as I mentioned a moment ago, the Senate has 50 members, the House has 120 members, but from a square foot standpoint, the chambers are the exact same size. So as we think about social distancing, the House is in a little bit more of a challenging and precarious predicament than the Senate. To answer your question, what we expect to see when votes do come is that senators are largely going to be the only people on the floor of the North Carolina Senate. They're going to be spread out, we've been told, likely 6 feet or more between them. That's in the Senate. In the House, again, same spatial size, but you have more than twice as many members. They normally have 15 seconds to cast a vote in the North Carolina House, but when they take votes in the full chamber, which could take place as early as Thursday, they're going to be given up to 40 minutes. Mm. And that's being done in an effort to adhere to social distancing, cycle lawmakers into the chamber and out, allow them time to vote. But an important follow-up note to that is, what does debate look like? How's debate going to work? If a lawmaker from Mecklenburg County wants to ask a bill sponsor from Union County a question, are they both going to be in there to do that? How does debate take place? And I think we'll get a better sense of that come tomorrow and later this week.
All right, well, let's see what they're going to debate and talk about, which is mostly the money that they have to deal out and the COVID-19 relief money. So tell us what's at stake here.
So I want to set aside any state money. We can come back to that if we have time. They're dealing with federal funds this week. And initially, North Carolina received about $6 billion from the CARES Act. And due to various earmarks and things that needed to go to certain places, there is about $2.5 million that's already been dispersed. Not by the legislature. It just had to go down certain avenues. So the legislature has roughly $3.5 billion of federal funds potentially to appropriate. And there's a big difference between the House and the Senate as of Wednesday, which is the House wants to disperse about $1.7 billion at this point. The Senate wants to disperse about $1.23 billion of that available $3.5 billion. So there's a difference between the two chambers of about $500 million at the moment. Now, that is a big number. I think that if there's enough interest and flexibility, they probably can hash out those differences in the course of an afternoon. But at this point, there is a sizable difference. And what the Senate is actually closer to the governor and how much they both want to appropriate at this point, with the notion being, their words, they want to take a more prudent approach and they want to have more money available later this year as they better understand some of the needs and as this pandemic continues to play out.
I want to get to a number of points here in the 4 minutes that we have left, but one of the sticking points I understand is how to spend the money. The House wants to give money to COVID testing for those in the Medicaid gap. Give us an idea of what's going on there and any other big sticking points.
So the House has forecasted this for weeks. In its COVID relief bill, it wants to expand Medicaid temporarily for people who are in a healthcare coverage gap to receive COVID-19 testing and COVID-19 treatment. The Senate has not agreed to that. The Senate seems to think that federal funds will cover that. So that is the biggest fundamental thing at this point from a policy standpoint. There's also a big dollar difference as we think about small business loans. The House had earmarked $75 million for the Golden Leaf Foundation to disperse loans to small businesses in need. The Senate has actually put $125 million toward that pot. So those are some of the big differences at this point.
And there is state money that, and we, as you said, you're talking about the federal money now, but there's state money
That's
too,
right.
And some large questions that loom ahead as the hurricane season approaches.
Absolutely right. So the state has about $1.2 billion in the rainy day fund. And then, as listeners will remember, as a result of not having a new budget passed last year, there's $2.2 billion in what's called money on the bottom line or an unappropriated balance. So state lawmakers effectively have $3.4 billion cash available. But the thought here is to A, spend the federal money first, B, have some of that money available for needs when an expected budget shortfall hits later this summer. I mean, all this lost sales tax and gas tax, that's going to lead to less money in state coffers. So they're going to use the reserves then. And then third, the biggest unknown, as you mentioned, is, what if another hurricane strikes? Because lawmakers have built up that rainy day fund to more than $2 billion in recent years, and then they've used hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars in hurricane relief. So they want to make sure they have something saved in the event of another major storm.
Speaking of hurricane season, State Board of Elections Executive Director Karen Brinson Bell asked lawmakers to consider changes to the November election. Talk about that briefly.
There is no election policy. There are no significant election changes thus far in the policy that's moving at the legislature, and we don't think we're going to see that this week. Now, Karen Brinson Bell has said there are some changes that need to take place now. As you back out the calendar and you think about absentee voting, you think about changes that need to be made soon. Also, by the way, we do have a runoff congressional election in the 11th district, which is up in the mountains. So lawmakers have said they're not going to deal with election stuff now. They have forecasted that they'll be back in a few weeks, perhaps in late May or early June. And at that point, the clock's really ticking. And if they're going to make changes to the election, it probably needs to get going, if not done, during that time period.
Jeff DeBeery, WUNC Capital Bureau Chief. Jeff, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Frank.
You can find out more at our website, stateofthings.org.